through 18. The entitlement of this message is called Problems Within. In Nehemiah chapter 4, we begin to see problems arising from the outside as they were building up the wall and as God was doing great things in the life of God's people and things were progressing as we saw in chapter 3. Then outside influences began to take over and Nehemiah was forced to place men on guard because they were literally facing physical attacks from their enemies. And now we see here in Nehemiah chapter 5 that there begins to take a different type of attack. And it happens from the inside out. I read a really great quote this week and it basically stated this. It says, if the devil cannot succeed from the outside, then he assuredly will try from the inside. There's a lot of truth in that. You know, the devil will do anything that he can to deter the life of a growing church. And we are a growing church. God is doing great things in the life of our church. And God has turned our church around for the greater good. And I believe if we continue in things like 40 days of prayer, I believe if we continue to be strong in each other and strong in Him, then great things are going to happen. I believe that. But I know in the midst of great things happening, the devil will do anything that he can to deter. And if he can't do it from the outside, he'll surely do it from the inside. And that's what happened here in Nehemiah chapter 5. We begin to see the people basically turning on each other. Basically, it became an issue between the Jews who had and the Jews who had not. Basically, the Jews who had not were turning to their brothers and their sisters, basically for literally loans for survival. And the people were actually charging interest to their brothers and their sisters in Christ. As much as if you look up biblically, they were charging as much as 12% interest on the loans that they were giving to their brothers and sisters in Christ just so that they could save their houses, they could save their property, just so that they could eat and stay alive. So Nehemiah heard about this and he was outraged at the problems that they were facing. There was a biblical law in the Old Testament that said you couldn't charge interest to your brother or your sister in Christ. You could loan them money, you could help them out, but there was no interest that could be accepted from them. So they were breaking God's law. And this was beginning to turn the people inside out. And this morning I want to talk about how we deal with spiritual problems. In dealing with spiritual problems and dealing with issues in the church, we have to deal with those problems in a biblical fashion. A lot of times we want to sweep it under the rug. A lot of times we want to forget about it. As a pastor over the years, I internalized it. The worst thing that I probably ever could have done. I never said anything to anybody. I just dealt with it. I dealt with the emotions. I dealt with the feelings. And eventually, it almost destroyed me. I want to tell you, as a church, if we don't deal with our problems biblically, we will be destroyed. I want to tell you this. As God does great things in the life of our church, we'll face opposition from without, but we'll face it from within. Eventually, those that we call our brothers and sisters in Christ, they'll hurt us. They'll upset us. Our brothers and sisters in Christ will maybe even become the point of opposition within our church. And in dealing with that, we'll have to take a biblical stance on how we look and deal and manage the problem. Amen? Let's see how Nehemiah dealt with it. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. Stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Now there arose a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish brothers. For there were those who said, with our sons and with our daughters, we are many. So let us get grain that we may eat and keep alive. There were also those who said, we are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our houses to get gain because of the famine. And there were those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's taxes on our fields and our vineyards. Now our flesh is as the flesh of our brothers, our children as their children. Yet we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have already been enslaved. But it is not in our power to help it, but for other men have our fields and our vineyards. I was very angry when I heard their outcry in these words. I took counsel with myself and brought charges against the nobles and the officials. I said to them, you are exacting interest each from his brother. And I held a great assembly against them. and said to them, "We, as far as we are able, have brought back our Jewish brothers who have been sold to the nations. But you even sell your brother that you may be sold to us." They were silent and could not find a word to say. "So I said, 'The thing that you are doing is not good. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God to prevent the taunts of the nations of our enemies? Moreover, I and my brothers and my servants are lending them money and grain. Let us abandon this exacting interest. Return to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive orchards, and their houses, and the percentages of the money, grain, wine, and oil that you have been exacting from them.' Then they said, 'We will restore those and require nothing from them. We will do as you say.' And I called the priest and made them swear to do as they had promised. I also shook out the folds of my garments and said, 'So may God shake out every man from his house and from his labor who does not keep this promise. So may be the shaken out and emptied.' And all the assembly said, 'Amen.' And they praised the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 12th year to the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allowance of the governor. The former governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them from their daily ration 40 sheiks of silver. Even their servants lorded it over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. I also persevered in the work of the wall and acquired no land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 men, Jews and officials, besides those who had came to us from the nations that were around us." Verse 18. "Now what was prepared at my expense for each day was an ox and 6 choice sheep and birds, and every 10 days all kinds of wine in abundance." You may be seated. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank You so much for today, the opportunity that You've given us to come and to be here in Your house, to fellowship one with another. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to lead this group of people, to be called their pastor. Lord, I thank You for the love and the gratitude and the appreciation that has been shown here today. It's been overwhelming. Lord, I just thank You for what You've done in the life of myself. Lord, how that You've called me to this place, how that You've given me an opportunity to serve You once again. And Lord, my desire is to serve You greater now than I've ever served You before. To be more obedient than I've ever been before. Lord, to be more sold out and surrendered than I ever have before. Father, my prayer is that each and every person here today would be the same. Lord, that they would be sold out for You like they've never been before. Lord, that You light a fire within this church that just consumes. Lord, You've already done so much. Lord, You've brought us numbers. Lord, You've brought us increased finances. Lord, You've just brought us a good spirit. Lord, I pray that we take this spirit and we never let it die. Lord, that we let no problem from without or within come and consume us. But Lord, when we do face opposition, Lord, that we face it biblically. We would do as You would have us to do. Lord, I pray today if there's somebody here who's never known You, Lord, today they be saved. Lord, I pray if there's a Christian in need, Lord, they come forward to this altar, to this place where they can surrender their heart and everything and just lay it all out there. Lord, I pray if there's someone here, Lord, who feels that there's no choice, there's nothing that they can do, that God cannot possibly change their status, Lord, I pray that You speak to their hearts right now. Lord, we ask all this in Your holy, precious name. Amen. Gosh, we read so much there and see so much in the Word of God. You know, not only were they collecting basically interest and they were taking their farms and their vineyards and their land as a source basically of interest and income, but literally they were also taking in other people's children as slaves, like an indentured servitude, so that they could continue to survive and live. And it was just disgusting to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah in verse 6 says, "I became outraged and angry when I saw what was going on." The first thing that we see in Nehemiah chapter 5 verse 1 was this, is there was an outcry. People were angry, people were upset, and it was a destruction that was beginning to work its way into the church from the inside out. But how do we deal with biblical problems? How do we manage these types of issues? I think the first thing that we need to take a look at is this. In the source of resolving conflict biblically, we must truly, truly air our complaints to the people who matter, to the proper authorities. You know, I thought about that when I wrote it, and I thought about it just now as I read it again. Airing our complaints to the proper authorities, to the people that matter. You know, when things upset us, when things bother us, when things hurt us, who's oftentimes the first person we tell? In today's world, it's Facebook. We tell thousands of people all at the same time. We air it publicly. We go about and maybe we pick up the phone and we call 6 or 7 dozen different people in the church and we tell them about our problems and how we feel. Church, in resolving biblical conflict, we have to do things in a biblical manner. The first thing that I believe the Word of God teaches us according to what Jesus tells us comes from Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 verse 15, He says it this way. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. You know, the first person that you can go and air your complaint to is the one who has done aught against you. The one who's done you wrong. You know, we want to talk to everybody else who has no involvement in the process, and we'll say things like, well, I just needed somebody's opinion. I just needed to see what somebody else thought about this. Or, as a pastor, I've heard this one a lot over the years, I just wanted to see what everybody else felt. You know, I just wanted to get a feeling of the temperature. I hear that a lot as a pastor. Really? That's just gossip. Any way you cut it, up, down, sideways, it is nothing but gossip. If you want to answer your problems in a biblical fashion, we have to air out our complaints with those who matter. First and foremost, to God. You know, if we feel like that we have somebody who has done aught against us, if there's something in the church that just isn't right, first we should turn to God. First we should look and see if really what has happened, is it biblical? Is it wrong? Is it sinful? What's the status of this? You know, God, what do you say? So we first go to God. But then it also tells us this, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Go and share with him. Go and let him know, you've done this against me. You've hurt my feelings. You've made me feel this way by the things that you said, by the things that you've done, by the things that you do. Just tell him. How hard is that for some people? Take a brother with you if you can't go by yourself. Take a brother with you if you can't go by yourself. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. It's hard. It's hard. I know people like that. I know people that in my walk with Christ, I couldn't go and tell them what God was saying and what God was doing in my life. Why? Because of the things that they would say. Because they got mad, they got outraged, they got aggravated. And for many of us, even if we don't know whether or not that's going to happen, we fear it, don't we? We fear, if I go to this person, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? If you can't go by yourself, take brothers and sisters in Christ with you. When you go from there, they won't answer. When they're unwilling to see, unwilling to bend, then we have to turn it over to God and say, Lord, this is in your hands. The greatest resource that we have is airing the complaint out with those who matter. Don't tell everybody in the church. It's not everybody's business. You know what? As a pastor over the years, one of the things that's frustrated me the most is when people don't like the way that I do something. I'm the last person to hear about it. There'll be 10 dozen people who knows that, you know, Brother Casey didn't, you know, go see this one when they should have been seen. And Brother Casey, you know, said this, and I didn't think it should have been said that way. And, you know, over the years, it almost makes me a little bit angry, to tell you the truth, thinking about some of the things that people have done to me over the years. And you know how many of those people came to me and told me face to face? Not a one of them. Over the years as a pastor, I've never had one person come to me and stand in front of me and say, "You've done aught against me. This is what you've done wrong." But they'll tell everybody else. Listen, if you've got aught against me, if you don't like what I do, if you don't like how I look, I can't help it. But you come and you tell me about it. You come and you tell me about it. There are people in our church who can make a difference. If you don't think you can come to me, you can come to one of our deacons. If you don't think you can come to a deacon, you can come to your Sunday school teacher. You can come to somebody who's in that position, that leadership that God has placed there to share your thoughts with. But go to your brother. And if you can't go alone, go with a brother or sister in Christ. In resolving problems biblically, we as leaders must deal with complaints in a realistic, biblical manner. Over the years, I've known pastors, when people come to them with complaints within the church, the first thing that they do is forget about it. The first thing that they do is they prolong it and they fail to act. They never want to do anything. We'll pretend like it never happened, or we'll pretend like it's going to go away, or we'll just all try to ignore it and get along. We as leaders, not everybody in here may be in that capacity, but we as leaders have an obligation to deal with things biblically. When people come to us and say that aught has been done, or they have a concern about the life of our church or the direction of our church, we leaders have a responsibility to deal with it biblically. The first thing we see about how Nehemiah dealt with these problems was that in verse 6 he became angry. You know, a lot of times we think that anger is just something that's totally all sinful. Every bit of anger is sinful. That's not the truth. I want to tell you that biblically there's times when we should become angry. You know, we should become angry when we see the status of sin in the world like it is today. You know, Jesus became enraged by the money changers who had taken the temple, God's holy place, and made it a place basically of exchanging money for the purpose of interest. Just what we see here in Nehemiah. And Jesus went in and He turned over the tables and He chased out the money changers. Sometimes we need to have a godly, righteous anger to provoke us to move and to do. And that's what Nehemiah did. He became angry that his brothers were being done wrong. And he stood up against it. But I also want you to know that Nehemiah had self-control. As much as we should have a righteous anger, we should have self-control. Just because I get angry at work, it doesn't mean that I can whip somebody with a stick. People make me angry at work all the time. They cuss me. I've had people spit at me before. And you know, when people spit at me, that does something crazy. It's like Incredible Hulk type stuff. You know, it's like you want to hold them down and tase them in the neck. You know, it's that kind of man. But you know, in having self-control, I guess I could do it once, and that would probably be the end of it. You know, career in prison and all. But as a pastor, when we talk biblically, we can be righteously angry, but we still have to have self-control. Jesus, in His righteous anger, turned over the table and He cast out the money changers. But He didn't beat them down. As much as He probably thought that He might want to, if in the human side, in the human nature of it, having those emotions and those feelings, we know that Jesus felt emotions and feelings. He became righteously angry, but He also had self-control. Nehemiah had self-control. He didn't cast out his brothers. He didn't call them everything in the book. But what does it say that he did? It says that he confronted them biblically. We have a righteous anger, but we have self-control. And when we gain self-control, then we can begin to confront. As a pastor, I have never had a shyness of confronting people. I don't do it embarrassingly. And maybe you've had one of those Pastor Casey moments already, where I come and I talk to you and I share with you things that I've heard or things that have been told to me. And I try to do it in a very tactful way. I really do. I've gotten better at it over the years. I don't do it so gruffly. I don't do it so, you know, grumpy-faced. I tend to put a smile on when I do it now. But I still have those moments with folks, because as a pastor, you sometimes have to confront people about things that are being done. That's what Nehemiah did. It says that he went to them and he confronted them about it. And apparently it didn't change, because after he confronted them personally, he had to confront them before all the people. He says, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing to your brothers is biblically wrong. But Nehemiah also set a godly example. In his righteous anger, he had self-control and he confronted biblically. But not only that, Nehemiah set the godly example. Meaning this. If you remember there, as Nehemiah basically chastised them, he made them confront and confronted them publicly and made them publicly promise that they would never do this again. And Nehemiah says that he took his garment and he shook it out and he says, anybody who should break these promises, may they be shook out of the fold of God. So Nehemiah says that, you know, they all agree and they said, amen, and we'll do this thing. And Nehemiah continued on and he talked about some things that he did in his 12-year reign as the governor of the people. You know, as the governor of the people, previously what they had done is they had collected basically an allowance. You see, as the governor, he was allowed to take a food allowance. He was allowed to take a money allowance, basically a tax. In the 12 years that Nehemiah served the people, never one time did he take anything in the way of the people. But they gave. He never took anything. He set the godly example. You know, how hypocritical would it have been of Nehemiah to say, you can't take from your brothers, you can't charge interest of your brothers, if he turned around and he took and charged interest of the people to lead them. He set a godly example. We as leaders, we as people of the church, we have to set a godly example in everything that we do. Church, it has to be one of these things. It's not the, you know, do as I say, not as I do. We like to do that a lot in life, don't we? We like to do that. Do as I say, not as I do. It's not like that. It ought to be do as I do. Do as I do. He set a godly example. But not only that, Nehemiah was committed to the work. That's a theme that you'll hear me say every single week. Nehemiah was committed to the work. I want to tell you how you'll spot pastors and leaders who aren't committed to the work. They'll just let it slide. They'll just forget about it. They won't care. Because if anything, I have learned this in ministry and in leading people. When people have problems, if you don't deal with them, they compound. They never just go away. Amen? They never just go away into the darkness of the night. As much as we would want it, as much as we would hope, it never happens that way. We have to deal with it. We have to be committed to it. And if we're committed to doing the work of God, we'll be committed to answering problems biblically. But not only that, I want you to know this, that probably above anything, Nehemiah taught accountability. Listen to me, church. We must teach and hold each other accountable. Amen? What does accountability mean? We live in a society today that really doesn't understand what accountability really is. I believe that. We've got a group of young people coming up in this world who want to blame all the problems that they have on somebody else. It was my mommy's fault. It was my daddy's fault. You know, I work at a university where people pay large sums of money to go to. They live a great life. They're getting one of the best educations in the country. But yet, when it comes to their problems, they still cannot accept responsibility for it. And that breaks my heart. You know what? When I mess up in life, it is my fault. If anything that my parents taught me, especially my dad, is when I mess up, my fault. Nobody else is to blame but me. As a church, as Christians, as leaders, we ought to hold each other accountable. That doesn't mean that we lord things over people's heads. Some of you might would take that to the extreme. Watching and waiting for somebody just to mess up so that you can hit them over the head with a big hammer. Say, ha ha, I caught you. That's not accountability. Accountability is helping brothers and sisters in Christ grow and overcome the things that they struggle with. Serving God more faithfully, that is accountability. The last thing I want you to know is in resolving biblical conflict, We must submit to God. We must submit to His Word. And we must submit to leaders. Biblical leaders. I think one of the great problems in churches today is we've forgotten about these three things of submission. Submitting to Him first and foremost as the supreme head. Submitting to His Word because His Word is all truth. Amen? There is nothing in the Word of God that is false, wrong, incorrect, hypocritical, condescending. I mean, there's nothing in the Word of God in any way that is not good for the teaching. Literally, the Bible tells us that. His Word is good for the teaching. Good for reproof, it says. That's what the Word of God does. But what about leaders? What about following godly leaders? That's what the people did. They believed in God, but they also believed in their leaders. They believed that what Nehemiah said was the truth and that Nehemiah was telling them what God wanted them to do. And they followed Nehemiah. Literally, it said in those verses that we read that they were obedient to each other. They were obedient to do what Nehemiah said because they believed that Nehemiah was this man of God that God had sent them. As a pastor, I don't know if I've ever had just anybody say, "Yeah, I agree." They probably said that to my face. But what the reality was probably something totally different. But the people here, they believed. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, last verse, is our praise team. If you want to come on and prepare, we're going to get ready to close. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says it this way. It says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the Word of God. Consider the outcome of the way of their life and imitate their faith." That's a big word. That's a big verse. But you know, one of the key things is you got to have godly leaders. Amen? You know, I always hesitate as it says there, imitate their faith, because mine is not what I want it to be. I always revert back to what Paul says. He says, "I do the things of which I do not want to do, and the things that I want to do, I do not." I struggle daily. I struggle daily. But it says, consider the outcome of their ways and their life. Imitate their faith. Follow godly leaders. This is how we deal with problems from within. Whether it be home, whether it be church, whether it be work. This is applicable. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart, maybe you've got a problem in your family, you've got a problem in your life, you've got a problem here in this church. Maybe there's something you just need to come and pray about. There's some unresolved conflict somewheres. I want to tell you this, we're never going to grow, we're never going to heal, we're never going to be what we need to be with this unresolved conflict. I've talked with and I've shared with a lot of folks about a lot of different things about our conflicts. But it takes more than just me. It takes your willingness. Your willingness to forgive, your willingness to move forward. Your willingness to admit you're wrong. Maybe you just need to come and pray for that strength this morning. Father God, as we close out our service, Lord, again, we thank You for what we have participated in here today. Lord, we thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, Your blessings. Lord, I pray that as we close out this service, that, Lord, people will be obedient to come. Lord, that they will come and that they will surrender. Lord, maybe they deal with internal struggles. Maybe they deal with things in the life at work, in the life at home, in the life at church. There's aught that's been done against them. Lord, they're hurt. Or Lord, maybe there's somebody here who knows they've done aught against another. Lord, my prayer would be is if, Lord, we're one of those that even before those that we've done wrong against comes to us, Lord, let us go to them and say, "I'm sorry and forgive me." Lord, teach us as a church the things we need to know. Grow us, multiply us. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.